Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
It speaks in different ways and brings a message about, and then you think of a topic and you think of a title. But this was one of those drop in my spirit words, and he began to tell, he just said, when you walk in integrity, there's peace. How many like peace? If you prefer anything other than peace, something's wrong with you, amen? You need a touch from God, because there are people who like chaos. I don't. I like peace, amen? There's nothing like peace. As a matter of fact, that's what this world is looking for tonight. So we're going to get into this, but I'm going to start off by asking a question, and also I want to just echo what Adrian said. If we have anybody that's here for the first time as a guest, we hope you feel welcome. Amen. Let's let them know once again that we're glad they're here. We've got some that are here for the second and third time. We've got a great couple that we met last week that was able to come to our small group last night. I hope you get to meet them. You'll just have to figure out who they are. I don't want to embarrass them. But those that are watching online, God's got a good word for you tonight. Amen. So answer these questions with a hand raise or whatever. But how many could use $10 million? $10 million. Okay, that's a lot of money, right? That could change. I know for a lot of us, $10,000 could change our lives, but $10 million is a lot. So there's this poll of what people would do for $10 million. So you don't, actually, I don't want you to raise your hands. Just answer inside, okay? Just answer inside. Because once you hear some of these, I don't really want to, please don't raise your hand. I might think differently of you, amen? But I didn't make this up. This is the thing. What would someone do for $10 million? And obviously, this is going off of integrity. And so how many of you would, again, just in your mind, okay, would abandon your entire family for $10 million? Would abandon your church for $10 million? Would become a prostitute for a week? Would give up your American citizenship? Hey, go back to your country then. Just kidding. if you give it up quick, that's I'm not gonna lie to the way the country is right now. I think there's a lot of people that thought about it. You just said it out loud. Would leave their spouses. You have to be married to leave your spouse, okay? Would withhold testimony and let a murder go free. A murderer go free, okay? Would kill a stranger. And then last but not least, would put your children up for adoption. Some of the kids are like, wow, my parents might do that. Here's the crazy thing. I know that all that sounds crazy, but in the poll, 2/3 of Americans said they would do at least one of those things for $10 million. Tell me we don't have a problem in our country. Amen? Now, I didn't say that you, when you heard those things, you in your mind, you might rationalize and think, hey, you know, it's just a week, or hey, it's just a kid or whatever. But the truth is, we do in our carnal minds think of things, right? But I want to challenge us tonight to want to have a closer walk with God. How many want to have the closest walk with God that you can have? The way you get close to God is to be like him. And integrity is something that is so, so important in our day-to-day. Amen? So Proverbs 10:9, give you a couple of verses to start off with. He who walks with integrity walks securely. By the way, how many know integrity is a choice? Integrity is a decision. Integrity is a lifestyle. It's not something you can buy. Or it's not something that you're born with, that's for sure. He who walks with integrity walks securely. And so this is going along the lines of peace with integrity, the peace of integrity. He who perverts his ways will become known. And then I love this verse. It's in my top 10. I'm going to probably try to stop saying my favorite verse because I know I got a bunch of them. But I'm going to say top 10. Isaiah 26:3. Powerful, powerful verse. Some of you know this verse. You will keep him. God is saying he will keep the person in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on God, and that person who trusts in him. I changed the wording a little bit because if you don't read it the right way, you might wonder who it's talking about. God says, the person who trusts me and is always thinking about me, I will keep them in perfect peace. How many would like to have perfect peace tonight? Amen. I believe by the time this is over, we can have it. Father, tonight, anoint your word. Bless every person that's here, Lord. Those that couldn't be here because of sickness or work or situations. Bless those that are watching online tonight that might be listening to this 6 months down the road on the podcast, Father. Lord, you have a word for people tonight to transform us, to draw us closer to you, and to give us something that this world cannot give, which is peace. And Lord, we ask you just to speak to us and challenge us in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said? So here's the definition of integrity. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. So if you go back to those first questions, we would all have to change our morals to be able to say yes to any of those things for $10 million. And by the way, it is shocking to me that 2/3 of Americans would do one of those things, but at the same time, it's not, because you also realize that people do it every day for probably a lot less than $10 million. People sell their souls to the devil. People do things that are unheard of, and many times for, like I said, way less than that. So integrity is a quality. It's something we have to attain. It's something we have to work for. It's something we have to decide that we want. And honesty is a decision. Amen? And so strong moral principles, as the dictionary says, is something you refuse to change. So obviously we as Christians have a stronger moral principle than the world because we have the Bible. We know that the Bible says that every person on the earth has those moral principles because God has actually written his word on our hearts. But many people don't choose to walk under that compass of the Holy Spirit, walk by the word of God. But we have the principles in the Bible that tells us what's right, tells us what's wrong, tells us what we should and what we shouldn't do. So to make this simple tonight as we get into this, and we're thinking about peace and we're thinking about integrity, this is making a daily, many times a day decision to do the right thing. Always. Amen? Not sometimes, not most of the time, not 98% of the time, but all the time. How many believe that that's possible? It is possible. Is it hard? Yes, but it's possible. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we miss the mark? Yes. But we're trying, right, to live a life of integrity. And so I'm going to go over some things to think about tonight to help you. Along the lines of this, of the definition again, the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now, how many know that that's not a white lie or a black lie or a purple lie or a pink lie? It's a lie. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. How many want to be the delight of the Lord? Okay, so I was telling Destiny about this a little bit today, giving her a little lead-in. This is a message where we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. We're believers. We're living for the Lord. But this is for someone to grab that wants to go to another level. You don't just want to be saved. You don't just want to go to heaven. You want to please God. You want to be the apple of God's eye. There's many verses in the Bible, and I might mention it later, that says that the eyes of the Lord are actually looking, going through the earth and looking for those who fear him and those who are righteous. Amen? I want to be that person. I can't speak for you, but I want God's eyes on me. I want him to be pleased with me. I want him to be proud of me. I want him to consider me. I want his favor. I want his hand on my life. I want to please God. How many follow me? I don't just want to be saved. I want to please God. So this message may not be for everybody, because some of you might be, and I hope no one is, some of you might be complacent in your faith and just be happy to make it to heaven. But I want to please God. I want to honor God. I want to show God with my life, not my words. That's the difference. There's a big difference. You can't speak integrity. You live integrity. Okay? You can say all you want. I can stand up here and I say, I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be a man of integrity. I can say it over and over again, but me saying it means nothing. It's what I do that makes me, hopefully, a man of integrity. Here's a really good definition of integrity to make it simple, which I like to do. Doing, if you want to write this down, doing what's right when no one's looking. A lot of times we do the right thing when we see someone's watching us. And we're like, oh, you know what, I need to do the right thing here because if I don't, I'm going to get caught. Integrity is doing the right thing always when no one's looking. And understanding, if you have any common sense, someone is looking always. His name is God. So why are we as human beings so concerned about what other people think and so unconcerned about the eyes that are upon us that have no roofs, no barriers, and sees everything? So if we'll get that right and we'll think, God, I want to please you, then all the other relationships will work out because we're working on focusing on pleasing the Lord. Here's an illustration that might help us understand what we're talking about tonight. This is called the integrity test. We might be like the salesman who was going to a purchasing agent so he could submit the bid for his company. So obviously he wants his company to have the right price so he can get the sale, he can get the commission and all this. And while he's waiting for the people to call him in, he couldn't help but notice on the desk next to him was the competitor's bid right there in front of him. And so he was tempted to look at what the competitor's bid was, but there was a can of Coke on top of the number. And so he thought, you know what, it's not going to hurt nobody if I see this. I've already got my bid. And so he goes over and he grabs the can to pull up the price. And when he picks up the can, thousands of beads go flying all over the table. And the whole office looks at him. It was a setup. They wanted to see if he would be honest and not look at it. And of course, he lost the bid. Right? There are things like that in our lives all the time that maybe don't seem that obvious. But there's tests that God is putting in front of us. When we want a lot of power and anointing and favor with God, we have to pass those integrity tests. Amen? If we want God to put lots through our hands, if we want God to use us to touch lives, if we want all these things that we should want, we got to pass those tests that many times come our way. Amen? I was thinking of another story that I heard and of course this is just an illustration, but this pastor was taking the bus and going to work, and he got on the bus and he paid his fare and he got the change back and he got to his seat and he started counting his change and counting the change, and he realized it was a lot more than what he had supposed to get back. So the whole trip he's thinking, Lord, are you trying to bless me here? Is this a blessing? I could use this for the rest of the week. And then he started thinking it through, and he thought, no, I got to go tell this guy he gave me the wrong amount back. So as he goes to get off the bus, he stops at the bus driver, and he says, sir, you gave me too much money. And he says, yes, I know, I did it on purpose. I was at your church on Sunday, and I wanted to see if you were honest. How many times do we go through something like that, and maybe the test happens, and we never see that person again because they're testing us? How many want to pass those tests? I didn't say you want to be tested, but you want to pass those tests, right? You want to be able to be an honest person. So here's a good quote. Integrity is not something, that's kind of what I've been saying so far, is not something you show other people. You don't go around pulling it out like a license. Like, here's my integrity. Look, see it? See my integrity license? You don't do that. The way that you show your integrity is how you behave behind somebody's back. That's the true test of integrity. So you can say to your boss, you can say to your spouse, you can say to your pastor, you can say to your leader, you can say to whoever's in your life, this, that, and the other, but when their backs are turned, how you act is truly what your integrity is. Why is it so quiet in here? I'm not preaching to anybody. Amen? How many want this? How many want the peace of integrity? The carrot is, we can have peace. Just to pause here for a second, how many of us came into this walk with God with a lot of past mistakes, and maybe had some problems in gangs or drugs or bad deals or this, that, and the other. You weren't honest with things. And for a lot of your life before you met Jesus, you were constantly looking around over your shoulders to make sure something bad wasn't going to happen. Or you'd wake up in the morning, maybe it wasn't even gang-related or drug-related, but maybe it was bills or things you'd done wrong, and you wake up every single morning with this burden in your life because you've made so many mistakes. How many would like to have the opposite of that and wake up every single morning with peace in your heart, knowing that you don't owe anybody, that you haven't done anybody wrong, that nobody's after you? That you can seriously, that's what this came from the Lord from, is the peace of integrity. And this peace that I'm talking about comes individually. Like, we don't do this as a whole, as a church. We can, the corporate peace can come, but it's individual decisions. I can't have peace for my wife. My wife can't have peace for me. I have to have peace for myself. I have to live with my decisions. That's what this is about. And the Bible is so full of that. So we have to think these things through, and we have to talk about these things because they're so important to what God wants to do in our life. So he has a promise. How many like God's promises? When we start to think about integrity, you say, you know what? I like that word. That's not a word that would define me before I met Jesus for sure, or anybody, I don't think. But I'm going to try to live up to that word. And the good thing is there's a reward for it. God doesn't just ask us to be that way and not reward us. Look what Proverbs 20, verse 7 says. Powerful verse. The righteous man walks, so it's a walk, right? Not a talk. In his integrity, and maybe you're not a grandparent yet, maybe you're not a father or a mother yet, but one day you will be, or you'll be an aunt or an uncle, or you'll have kids or grandkids, and this will mean something to you, and his children are blessed after him. That's a great promise, that we're doing something that's going to, I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? That your kids would call you a liar, that your grandkids would say they're fake, they're not honest. How many want your grandkids and your kids to say, my parents are honest, my parents are righteous people, amen? So think about this. There's a lot of paths in our lives. You already hear the word path a lot, and the integrity is one of the paths that you can take. So we choose every day which way we're going to go. But integrity distinguishes itself from the other paths because of this reason. It's the right path. I mean, there's only one right path. There really is. We think there's several. There's just one. It's like the only way to God is Jesus. Lots of people say there's lots of way to get to God. No, the Bible says Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. So he's the only way, right? Integrity is the right path. And listen to this, the only one on which you'll never get lost. When you want to go on a path that you're not going to get lost. When you're walking integrity, part of that means when you're telling the truth, whether it hurts or is painful or whatever, you're not going to have, you don't have to remember the lies of the follow-up. God wants us to get to a place where we're living our lives transparently. I don't have anything to hide. How many want to live a life where someone can get your phone and they can go through the entire phone and every part of your phone and there'd be nothing to hide? Amen? Your computer, whatever. Just to live a life like that where you're not having to cover anything up and you can truly have the peace of integrity. Now let's go to Philippians 4 and look at a few verses here. And here's some things that Paul was dealing with, because this has always been something that's been a challenge. We're not of this world anymore. We're saved. We're believers. We're born again. We're of the kingdom of God. And now we are representatives of Jesus. And one thing that God can give us that nobody else can give us is peace. How many realize that? I've got to hit that home. This entire world, whether they admit it or not, wants peace. But you can't buy peace. You can't. It's impossible. Peace can only come from the Prince of Peace. And that's Jesus. Okay, can't come from anybody else. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one who gives it. So we have to live our life in a certain way to receive that. So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now look at some of these things as a challenge. I hope you go back and read these again. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Aren't we supposed to live our lives today like Jesus could come back tonight? Right? We can't live our lives that he's coming back next week or next month or the next year. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. When you think about this, when we get anxious, life happens, bills happen, things happen, but when we're doing the right thing, we're not going to be anxious over things we can't control. We're going to understand, I'm doing what I can control, and God's going to do what he can do, okay? When we get anxious, it's because we're not doing things right. He says, don't get anxious over just anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I always tell you, the will of God is thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, shout that out, the peace of God. How many want that peace of God? Which surpasses all understanding. So the peace that comes from God can't be explained. Have you ever had a peace and thought, how do I have peace right now? This situation is horrible. This situation is dire, but I have a peace that passes all understanding. And so if we're doing these things, it says he'll guard our hearts and our minds. When you lose your peace, you lose your mind. Or you lose your mind to lose your peace. When your mind's on the wrong things, you're going to have no peace. But when your mind and your heart is right, the Bible says, this is a promise, he'll guard your heart. He'll guard your mind through Christ Jesus. Amen? And finally, brethren, I give this verse to people all the time when they're going through struggles mentally. Read Philippians 4. He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy. You know what that means? That means you find a way to give glory to God. You find a way to look at the positive in the situation. You find a way to have peace of mind. You find a way to be different from everybody else. He's saying that being anxious isn't going to do anything for you but hurt your health. Stress is the biggest killer in the world. He says, meditate on these things. That takes an effort, a daily effort, amen? And the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and here we go again, and the God of peace will be with you. The peace of integrity, amen? How many have ever been in a situation where you, bus driver situation where you got some cash back from somebody or you had an opportunity where you're thinking, man, I could just walk right out of here right now and no one would ever see it. How many ever run into those kind of things where you're tested in your character and your integrity? Just a couple weeks ago or a week ago, I was at Home Depot and I was getting some fence wood for my fence, and I had like 50 pieces of cedar, and they went on sale when I was at the end, too, by the way. Does that ever make anybody frustrated? After I'd already bought like 300 pieces, they went on sale for the last 50. But I was thankful for the 50. And so I had the 50 pieces of cedar and a couple pieces of other wood, and there was a long line. And they were taking forever because some people hate their jobs. Amen? And I took off the stickers of the wood, and I went over to the self-checkout, and I paid for the wood at the self-checkout so I could get the receipt and go back and pass all these people in line. I wasn't doing anything wrong. But how many know when I went over there to pay for the stickers, I had one sticker of each piece of wood. And the lady said, how many pieces do you have? I could have said 20. I could have said 30. I could have said 40. But she wasn't going to go over there and check. She didn't even ask where my wood was. But I told her the number. She checked it out. I got my receipt. I went over, and it's one of those big, carts that you push. And I got it, and I started going out, and no one even looked at me. Like, no one even made eye contact with me carrying out all this wood. And I thought, man, I could have just grabbed this cart and walked out in the first place. No one would have ever asked, right? Those are the kind of situations that we run into all the time where God is looking at us because we're going to be honest. We're going to do the right thing because that's what Christians do. That's what believers do. We do the right thing when? All the time. Every day. In every situation. Amen? This is a crazy thought. I think you're going to like this. Everybody's heard of the Titanic. Everybody knows how the Titanic was brought down, right? Somebody shout out the word of what took the Titanic down. What's the one word? Huh? Iceberg, right? Everybody knows that's a fact, okay? Interesting, though, in 1997, USA put out a paper, a report, and this is what it says. Scientists now say that a series of slits, not a giant gash, sank the Titanic. The opulent 900-foot cruise ship sank in 1912, we all know about this, on its first voyage from England to New York. 1,500 people died. It was the worst sea disaster of all time. The most widely held theory was that the ship hit an iceberg, which opened a gash in the side of the liner. But an international, this is just, you know, less than 20 years ago, an international team of divers and scientists recently used sound waves to probe the wreckage. Buried in the mud under 2.5 miles of water, their discovery was this. The damage to the boat was surprisingly small. Instead of the huge gash that everybody believes caused it, they found 6 relatively narrow slats along the 6 watertight holds. And here's what they said. Small damage, invisible to most, can sink not only a great ship, but a great reputation. Think about that, right? So it doesn't have to be a big old hole in our armor. It doesn't have to be a big thing to ruin our reputation. You can lose your reputation that you have worked for a long time in one instance. You take the day off, you can lose it. Amen? So we have to watch that. We have to guard. And on that, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. We need to make sure that the little foxes don't spoil the vine. If you've ever read the book of Songs of Solomon, he mentions this, and what he's trying to say is you have to deal with the little things that will cause big damage. It's easy to see the big thing, but what about the little things? Think about anything in life, drug addiction, a bad marriage, an affair, anything in life that happens, your business going down, whatever it is, nothing ever happens in just one big blow. It happens from little tiny mistakes. It happens from little tiny errors that you continue to not deal with. And those little ones become big, and so you need to major in the minors, right? You need to focus on the minor things and major in those. Here's a thought on that. This is really powerful. Small details. So this isn't the big thing. This is the little things we need to deal with. Small details can have positive or negative impacts. Based on a research from this man named Anderson Erickson, he says there many athletes follow what's called the 100-hour rule. Anybody who's ever been in sports would know this. That means that they focus on a topic or a skill that will make them 90% better than everybody else. In other words, they're going to practice this thing for 100 hours, which comes out to about 16 minutes a day. They're going to practice it when nobody else is practicing, and they're going to become better than 90% of their competition. So here's another thing. That means they're doing a little, a lot. Okay? A little, a lot. Here's another one. There was this master violinist named Jaxa Heifetz, and she said this. Think about this to what we're talking about. If I don't practice one day, I know it. If I don't practice 2 days, the critics notice. If I don't practice 3 days, the public notices. Think about that. Now, watch this. In a relationship with God, if we stop reading the Bible and we stop praying, God's going to notice. And then after God notices, your family's going to notice. And then after your family notices, the public's going to notice. So if we deal with the little things with God in the private place, those big things in public never come out. Amen? So this is just practical things to think about. Now I want to end in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Here's some more Bible that's telling us how to have a life of integrity. Love, let love be without hypocrisy. Everybody in here needs to work on that, all of us. That we could love without hypocrisy. If you read that and you say, I have no hypocrisy, you're a hypocrite. You're confirming who you are, because we all struggle with that. All of us. We don't love the way God wants us to love. Okay? Abhor what is evil. Put away. Don't let into your life what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Here's another one. This is what we want to strive in our church to be. This is what we want people to say about us. We want people to say, that is a loving church. There is an affection in that church, and I believe we have that, but we have to keep that. We can't lose that. Brotherly love. Be kindly affectionate. How many know tonight we could all be better at being kindly affectionate to each other? In honor, giving preference to one another. In other words, thinking more of other people than thinking of myself. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. How many want to serve the Lord in integrity? Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. There's a lot here. Continuing, there it is, steadfastly in prayer. Amen? Let me just go back to that last verse 1 second. Just throw this out there to remind all of us that everybody here today is not promised to be here next week. Right? We see it all the time in churches, not just here, around the world. We have lots of churches. The only way you're going to make it for God is to continue. And we say this all the time, continue to do what you know you're supposed to do. When you start good, it's awesome. When you are in the race, you're doing good. You got to stay that consistent way. You got to look at people who are going to finish the race. You got to be a race finisher. You're never going to do that without integrity. You're never going to do that without accountability. You're never going to do that with somebody without somebody speaking into your life and saying, hey, I see an area in your life. I've been missing you. I haven't seen you at prayer. I haven't seen you at outreach. I haven't seen you at church for a while. Whatever it is. That we have to continue. How many tonight, right now, can think of somebody, even right now in this church, that has not been here for a while? Let me see your hand. You know them, and they, look around. And that's unfortunately never going to stop. Unfortunately. Because people are always going to be people. Here's the thing we don't want to be. Don't be those people. Be the ones that stay. Be the ones that make it. I'm just going to throw this in here. I didn't have any plans to do this. But there is a guy in our home church that just passed away and went to be with the Lord, who is the picture of steadfastness. 45 years in our home church, he served the Lord in every capacity you could possibly serve. And I'm not going to, I mean, family members and all kinds of different problems in his life, he stayed the course, stayed faithful to his church until the day he breathed his last breath. He stayed. He continued. Amen. That's to be admired. Amen. That's to be admonished. I want to be like that. I don't want to serve God for 15 years or 30 years. I want to serve God till I breathe my last breath. How many want that to be you tonight? Well, we got to stay steadfast in our prayer and in our integrity. Let's keep reading. Distributing the need to the needs of the saints. Giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. And bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Pretty good writing here, huh? This is the word. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Amen? We see that all the time too. I could have this towel right here. Everybody tell me what color this towel is. Black, right? Maybe if you're way far back or you're on TV, you might say gray or something because the way it's hidden. It's black, right? Those that are close, This is black. There are people in this world that will say it's white. Not even gray or purple. They'll say that's white, Pastor. And they'll say it with a conviction that they're right and everybody else is wrong. And they're going to go all their life that way. Does anybody follow what I'm saying? This is important. We have to go back one to the prior one. Do not be wise in your own opinion. In other words, when you have 10 people telling you you're off, something's wrong, you don't have the right heart or whatever, 10 people, don't be wise in your own opinion that this is black. Come on. That's what church is for. That's what integrity is about, is saying, you know what, I will be wrong. I'm not going to just die on this battlefield of being right in my own opinion. We need to have the opinion. Now, I'm not talking about the word of God. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about things where it's obvious you're off, right? Something's off, and that needs to be dealt with. Amen? That's part of integrity. Let's keep reading. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And here it is. If it's possible, this means that we have to try as much as it depends on you. In other words, in your greatest effort, live peaceably with all men. Be the better person. Be the person of integrity. Isn't it? This is a challenge, isn't it? Someone, you know, this goes to marriage. I'm just going to throw this in tonight for free. You want to have a good marriage? Someone in that marriage needs to be the better person. If you're both going to be the wrong person, you're never going to be right. And I'll choose for to be me. Amen? If every person would say, I'm going to make this right. I'm not going to die on the wrong battlefield. I'm not going to repay evil for evil. I'm going to live at peace. If everybody would make that decision, life would be better. Amen? It's good stuff. And then, let's finish here. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. I just mentioned this last week. For vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. When you are done wrong, when you live a life of integrity, you're going to be done wrong. People are going to take advantage of you. Things are going to happen that you don't really like. Let that go to God. When you're right and you know God, you're living the right way and doing the right thing, let God deal with that. Amen? He says, I'll pay, says the Lord. And 20 and 21 to finish. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. This is a good follow-up to forgive, huh? If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Musicians, you can begin to come. I want to read one last verse. And before we read it, remember the eyes of the Lord tonight are looking. Is that somebody I can hone in on and put my favor on? Is that somebody that's trying their best to live a life of integrity and do right and not be like everybody else? And if you do, you'll have peace. This is one of those things. You take it or leave it. If you don't take it, then you're not going to have peace. But if you'll get this message and you'll make a decision, say, I'm going to be the one, then you'll have peace. And I don't know about you, I like peace. I'm very fond of peace. Peace is very nice. Amen? It's very wonderful to have peace. Last verse, Psalms 41, verse 11. This all goes back to pleasing God. Not a man pleaser, but a God pleaser. By this, he says, I know that you are well pleased with me. So David is saying, by this, by my life of integrity, I know that you are well pleased with me because my enemy does not triumph over me. And then he says, as for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. As for me, everybody needs to make that decision. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Everybody else can go that direction if that's the wrong direction, and I'm going the right direction. As for me, and you will uphold me in my integrity. How many know that God will defend you? When you're right with God, God will defend you. He'll uphold you, the Bible says, with his mighty right hand. Father, thank you for the peace of integrity tonight. Lord, I pray that you challenge us tonight, every single one of us, to want the peace of integrity, to want to make the right decisions every day in every situation. Lord, nobody's perfect, but we can strive for perfection. Nobody has arrived, but Lord, we can strive to get where you're trying to get us to go. Father, search our hearts tonight. Search our minds. Search our motives tonight, God. Lord, help us to major in the minors. Help us to see things through the eyes of holiness and righteousness and honesty. Lord, help us to love as those chapters and verses in Romans said, without hypocrisy. Lord, to love genuinely, to not repay evil for evil. But Lord, in every circumstance, in every situation, be the person who brings glory and honor to your name. Because church, tonight we will all stand before God and we will give an account for our lives. How are you going to answer for your life? How are you living your life? Tonight I challenge you to live a life of integrity. Not only is it going to bless you when you stand before God to get a reward from him, but it's going to bless you right now on this earth. You'll be able to go home tonight and go to sleep and have peace that passes all understanding. Peace that money cannot buy, jobs cannot buy, relationships cannot buy, but only God can give. Father, I pray tonight that you challenge every single one of us. And Lord, if any of us are not in the place we need to be, Lord, would you forgive us? We repent tonight of our sins. We repent tonight of our wrong attitudes. We repent tonight, God, of any attitudes or any things in our lives that are not godly. We ask you to forgive us and wash us clean. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed all across this place, maybe you're here tonight in this place or watching online and you don't personally know Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight. Tonight you need to be born again. Tonight you want to be right standing with God. He knows your heart. He knows everything you've ever done. He created you for good things. But maybe tonight you're walking down the wrong path and that path is not integrity. That path is getting over on people. That path is getting what you can get. That path is taking away from different things. Father, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would help us right now to come clean before you and ask for forgiveness. Lord, right now in Jesus' mighty name, I pray if there be people in this place that don't know you, that you touch their hearts and you knock on the door of their hearts and they would surrender to you tonight. How many all over this place tonight, from front to back and side to side, could say, Pastor, would you pray for me tonight? I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I want him to come into my life. Just put your hand up and put it right back down all over this place. That's me tonight. You're talking to me. We'll give you a chance online in just a moment. How many tonight could say, you're talking to me, Pastor. I'm not ready. Maybe you know him. You believe in him. You're saved. But tonight your heart's not where your heart needs to be. And you need to get right with God. Tonight there's an altar that's going to be open and you can make some decisions. Tomorrow's not promised, church. We need to major in the minors. Maybe tonight as you're praying, maybe tonight as you're listening to this message, God dealt with you on some things that you have been shady in. Maybe there's some things that you haven't been honest in. And maybe they didn't seem like they were a very big deal until tonight. And the Holy Spirit has revealed to you, you need to deal with that. You need to make that right. There's some things that we've made mistakes on that we can't go back and fix. But there are some things we can make right tonight. And if the Lord shows that to you, then do it. Respond. Go make it right with that person. Go make it right with that situation. Go make it right with that bill. Go make it right with that financial situation, whatever it is. Make it right tonight. Say, Lord, I'm going to go and I'm going to get this in the right place. so that I can live a life of integrity tonight. Let's stand all over this place tonight. Let's begin to come down to this altar and spend some time in the Word, and spend some time in prayer, spend some time in repenting and reflection of what God's spoken to us tonight. It's early. Let's just spend some time talking to God. Let's just say, Lord, I accept the challenge tonight, because I want to have the peace that comes with living a life of integrity. I want to be right all the time. I want to do the right thing all the time. I want to make the right choice every day. And that's going to come from me being in your presence, me being in the Word, me being in prayer, and me being in discipline over my body tonight, Father. Speak to hearts tonight at this altar, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Just begin to talk to God right where you're at. Just begin to find a place and pray tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For those that are watching online right now, I want everyone in here to say this with me. Lord, that the tomb is empty. In Jesus' name, change my life tonight and make me a new person. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.